And honor God. Come on, honor the Lord in this place.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I came to give God the praise. And let me just do that. Let me ask you a question. If you have gone through anything over the last couple of weeks at all, maybe you went through something you thought was going to knock you down, and you fell down, but you were able to get back up. I know our drummer just came back from being sick. I don't know about anybody else, but if you have been dealing with anything, Leroy, you ought to give me a beat of some kind, because there ought to be a praise stomp in that foot today, because I want you to just take 30 seconds before you do anything else and give God a praise up in this place. Whatever you want to do, say thank you, say hallelujah. Okay. Okay. You missed it. Today is Victory Sunday. I'm concluding my sermon series in victory. So if you've had any victory, or if you're about to proclaim victory over the devil, go ahead and say, God, it's my time now. Victory is mine. I win. I win. I'm going to tell you what, if you've ever been sick and you couldn't get up out the bed, you would know how to act when you're in church. Because I'm going to tell you now, there have been times in my life when I wanted to praise him and couldn't praise him. Anybody ever been there? When I wanted to say hallelujah, but my mouth couldn't get it out. When I wanted to lift my hand, but it wouldn't go up. When I wanted to stomp my feet, but I didn't have any energy. On this day, while you have power, give God a victory praise. It's been in my spirit all week long. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. But I won. Me and the devil, we don't agree. I hate him, and he hates me. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. But I won, but I won. the devil had a tussle, but I won. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. Yeah, I won. Me and the devil, we can't agree. I hate him, and he hates me. Me and the devil had a tussle, but I won. Winners in here? Any more winners in here? Hey! I feel like preaching in here. Woo! Anybody ever had a tussle with the devil? I sent Leroy that when he got out the hospital, because I told him, this your testimony, because you and the devil done had a tussle, but you can go ahead and give God the praise. You won. I'm gonna try and say a little word for the Lord. Gina, I feel something up in here. Yeah! Father, we bless your name. Have your way. Speak in this place afresh and grant that we hear you today. Make fallow now the grounds of our soul where the seeds of good life may be sown therein, and a harvest of plenty be given unto the servants of the children of God. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read just a few words here. From, again, 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm closing out the series God has given us over the last few weeks. Verse 17 says, then David and his men struck them down in battle from twilight until the evening of the next day. And not a man of them escaped except for 400 young men who rode camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives. Nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great. sons or daughters, spoil or anything that had been taken, David recovered all. So David captured all the flocks and herds which the enemy had, and the people drove those animals before him and said, "This is David's spoil." For the next few moments, I want to talk from the theme of the fifth iteration of this word, can't stop, won't stop. God bless you. Can't stop, won't stop. You may be seated. There is something about knowing that there's a divine promise on your life that gives you faith to believe even when the circumstances don't align with having faith. When others may think the situation hopeless, when you have a promise attached to your life, you believe things even deemed by others to be impossible. When you have a promise attached to your life, others may be willing, ready, and able to give up. But because of the promise, you refuse to give up. You refuse to give out. You refuse to give in. Because you recognize there's something greater at stake. And there's someone greater working on your behalf. So that even when stopping crosses your mind, it only gets a fleeting moment before faith overwhelms it. Because you realize there's something more that God has already decided belongs to you. And the thing you've got to get excited about and recognize and believe in your own heart is that you are not working toward victory. You're working because the victory's already been won. And when you realize that all you're waiting on is for the manifestation of that which has been promised to materialize before you. And even though it has not yet been seen, it's all right because it's on the way. If it's going to be called faith, its visibility cannot be present and yet be faith. Because faith is the substance of things, I got some Bible readers, hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. So if I see it, I don't have to have faith for it. And most of your life, you're going to have to learn how to function by faith. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God and to believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You've got to learn how to operate in faith every day of your life. And faith has to be enough to get you excited. Faith has to be enough to make you want to run. Faith has to be enough to get you up in the morning. Faith has to be enough for you to recognize it's going to be a lovely day, even when it looks gloomy outside. Your faith has to be the buoy underneath you, even when you're in deep water. And the moment you function in that level of faith, you will find yourself rejoicing when others are weeping. And what you'll be able to whisper to them, if you only knew what I know. If you only knew what I know. If you only knew what, if you only knew that God was still in control, you wouldn't worry about what it looks like right now. Because God is in control. And I trust God. This text. And I flipped it upside down. I turned it to the left and to the right. So let me flip it back one more again. There are four things as I close this sermon series out. Four things to remember if you're going to be victorious. Four things to remember if you're going to be victorious. Now, the first one, I tried to give you an exercise in when I stood up today. But maybe you'll get it before we leave. Because number one is participatory emancipation. Yeah. No spectators allowed. You have to realize that David's men, when they got to the place where they were at, the Bible says that David, verse 17, and his men struck them in battle from one evening till the next evening. From twilight on one day until the evening of the next day. Okay, I see you didn't catch it yet, did you? Let me try another thing. You have a part to play in the answer to your own prayer. Okay. See, you want God to do everything, boo-boo. God doesn't work like that. Here it is. The text contains no divine intervention. Oh, let me say it one more time. There's no divine intervention. God doesn't do anything spectacular. There's none of this God coming down and I know that's what you'd like. Somebody in the back said, me likey. We sing songs like, Lord, do it. Do it for me right now. Without ever realizing that you are part of the doing of God. Okay, let me try it another way. No divine intervention. There's no rod turning into a snake. You remember Egypt? There are no plagues. There's no Red Sea parting. There's no fire from heaven. There's no lion tamed. There's no fire prevented from burning anyone. There's not even a hornet in here. See, someone missed that last reference. That Deuteronomy 7 talks about God would send the hornet in front of them, a stinging wasp, to attack their enemies and blot them out. There's no buzz, 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 buzz. God does not come down and do anything in the battle. Okay. this is going to get somebody. Probably somebody sitting in this corner right there is going to knock you out. Maybe somebody on the back, right? Okay. I know I'm going to get somebody in the balcony with this one. Watch this one. Prayer works, but you must work the prayer. Okay, let me back it up, roll it over one more time. And you might want to share this with your friends on social media today. Tell them I said it. Prayer works, but you must work the prayer. Okay. You know, again, here's the kicker. I'm going to drop kick this one right out of the house right here. Listen. We have divine guidance and we have divine assurance, but we have no divine manifestation. When he prayed, he got guidance. He got assurance, you shall recover all. But God didn't say, I'm going down to pick it up for you. We have divine guidance and assurance, but no manifestation. Okay. Now this one here, I'm going to hurt somebody's feelings. Okay. Get over yourself. Don't expect God to do for you what you can do for yourself. Last I checked, God's not going to the polls on Tuesday. God doesn't vote. And I'm just, God doesn't march. Hello? God doesn't protest. Maybe you don't realize that. One of the greatest things yesterday was, what a fantastic day of sports yesterday. But Coco Gauff at 19... winning the U.S. Open was just marvelous. My wife and I were just there. We were going back and forth with every hit, and it was just so marvelous. 19-year-old sister just, and she played her heart out, and celebrities were there. Everybody was there in New York, and New York showed her tremendous love. She went up and hugged her father, and he was crying, her mama and sisters, everybody was crying, and I was all into it. I was really feeling it. I promise you, I was, because she had to come back to win. Just in case you don't know this, after she had hugged everybody up there, she came back to her seat. And when I guess she thought the cameras weren't looking, she got on her knees and began to thank God. God may not play tennis, but he does bless tennis players. To use their ability to the best of their own power. What you've got to know is each of us has to realize that we have a part to play. That God is going to bless us. God is going to give us what we want, but we've got to go ahead and work for it and even fight for it. You must be willing to fight for your rights. They weren't just going to give up the property they had acquired. They weren't just going to give up the women and children they had taken captive. They had to fight for it. And let me tell you something. There are things in this life that are worth fighting for. Oh, see, you missed it. If you had caught that, you'd be ready to run right now. Because you see, they were going to get their women back. They were going to get their children back. They were getting their sons and daughters back. The enemy had taken their sons and daughters captive, and they were going into the enemy's camp and saying to the enemy, "You can't keep my children. I'm coming to get my babies back. I'm coming to get my children back. I'm going into the enemy's camp, and I'm taking back what he stole from me." And in your case, you may be going into the camp to get your child back from drugs or from addiction of some kind. But you've got to be willing to fight for your right. You've got to be willing to do what it takes to go there and get them back. You can't have celebration without participation. It's going to be mighty hard for me to party with you, but you didn't play with me. You've got to participate. You've got to get in there. You see, I'm going to phrase it one more time, because I'm driving home a point that I don't want you to lose. This is the reality. You are not truly praying if you're unwilling to participate in the answer to your prayer. Those are wasted words if you're not going to participate in making it become a reality. Now, there's one more piece in this verse that I want to lift up before I step away from it, because they went there, and they were doing that what they needed to do. And apparently, a lot of folk were killed of the enemy. They were doing what they needed to do. They were protecting their families. They did what they needed to do. What they did was they struck a mighty blow for justice, but they didn't act in vengeance. Okay, this is important you get this. The text points out a piece of information that it's easy to roll over and miss. The text says there were 400 young men who got away riding on camels. The text wanted you to know that every raider that had went into the camp and took their families was not killed. 400 got away that they did not chase down. When the 400 quit the fight, they let them go. Someone's looking at me and hear you saying, "Now, wait a minute, bitch, what you trying to say?" I'm going to help you here. The trick of the enemy is to make you want to become vengeful, bitter. You don't just want justice. You want to get them back. I'm going to hurt you like you hurt me. You want that 50 cent blood in my eye, dog, and I can't see. Because many men wish death on me. You have to get to the place. You've got to get to the place where you realize that getting justice is what believers want. Watch this. I'm going to drop one more dime on this section, and I got three more points, so I got to rock and roll. Listen, don't get so hyped in the midst of a crisis that your heart becomes evil. Whew. I'm trying to help somebody right now. If you don't get it because you don't want it. Listen, there's a way in which you are to be in the character of a believer at all times. That even in the midst of battle, you've got character. You function a certain way. Now, you know you're better than that. I'm not going to shoot an unarmed person riding away from me. It would be different if he were charging me with a weapon. But fleeing from me? And if I think like that in the battle, you know how I'm going to feel if somebody shoots an unarmed person sitting in a car. Because you have to be better. And the emotions of a moment, no matter how valid they may be, do not give you the right to be judge, jury, and executioner. So number one was participatory emancipation, but number two was physical extrication. Because not only did they rescue them, but they freed them. And at some point in your life, you want to participate in freeing someone else from bondage. See, it's not enough that we talk about it. What we have to do is be about it. That freedom ought to be our goal for every person, man, woman, boy, or girl, regardless of race or color or creed. That we ought to work on getting folk out of bondage. That's what makes prison ministry so important. Whether we are looking to free their minds while they're in prison, help them not to go back because of recidivism, or teaching others that they never go. It's all about physical extrication. The freedom from bondage. That's what makes it important. We've got to think, how do we get this person off drugs? How do we move this person off of being addicted to this item, this thing, this fetish, this creed? Because what we ought to be in the business of as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to be bondage breakers. And let me say this. And we ought not waste time trying to figure out whose bondage is worse. What we ought to care about are the souls of people. Okay, I've got to rush. I spent so much time, point one, I almost don't have more time left. Listen, point three, take this home real quick. Point this home. It is practical elation. Physical extrication, practical elation. What do you mean, Reverend? That when they received them, they became so happy. Great happiness is what elation means. Exhilaration is what it means. They became so happy that as they marched with the goods, they began to shout and exclaim the spoils of David. They began to celebrate what God had done and how God had blessed him. Listen, the Message Bible puts verse 21 this way. The Message Bible said, then David came to the 200 and had been so tired that they couldn't continue and had dropped out at the brook of Besor. They came out to welcome David and his band. And he came near. He called out, "Success! At some point, you need to recognize when God has blessed you." Okay. I want to go back to Coco one moment. If you watch the match, physically there was nobody else on the court but her and her opponent and the referee in the chair. The ball people maybe. Physically. Which means as a person individually, she had to put in the effort to win that match. But when she got through, she reached up to thank God. Because see, when you become wise enough, you realize that nothing you have or have ever done, did you do it on your own? There's no such thing as a self-made man, self-made woman, self-made millionaire. No, somebody helped you along the way. And God gave you favor. One politician said, "My daddy gave me a loan, and it was millions of dollars." You're not a self-made idiot. Daddy gave, come on. The problem with humanity is that we fail to realize the impact of the unseen hand of God on our lives every day. That God is blessing you. Oh, I'm almost done. But I need someone that recognizes that God is blessing you to lift up your hands and just exalt the God that you love. Like you know that, you, God, I know you bless me. You woke me up this morning. It could have been another way. You gave me the strength to even shower and dress my body. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you. If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Don't know where I would be. But because of your grace and your mercy. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We love you. We worship you. We thank you. Wouldn't be here without you. Thank you for letting us be this morning clothed in our right mind. Thank you for the youth and activity of our lives. Thank you for the life, the health, and the strength. Thank you for the peace. It could have been worse. It could have been worse. But you've been good to me. You've been good to me. You've been better to me than I've been to myself. You've been better to me than I deserve. Thank you, God. Woo. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ooh.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
With your hands lifted. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with a heart of thanksgiving,
I will bless thee, O Lord.
Come on, say it one more time. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with
praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord.
I will bless thee. Stop. I've got to leave you today. But before I close, I want to just say one other thing to you. Let me just say this to you. This is it. This is it. When they got back to the brook where they left the 200, there were some worthless men with them. Some of their own soldiers start talking about, you can take your wives and your children and go, but you don't get to share in the total blessing. And I want to tell you this. You have to know when to overrule the voices of those that are in your company. Because some folk might be near you, but they might not have any wisdom for you. They might think they have wisdom, they might think they have knowledge, but they dead wrong. David said, shut up. You don't see what I see. You don't know what I know. You don't have my anointing on your life. And because you don't, you're speaking foolish. And there are some times when you got to tell people, get out of my ear. You're not right today. I'll run with you. I'll fight with you. I'll be on your side. Ain't gonna quit you. But your wisdom is not right today. I'm trying to stop y'all. He said, be still. Shut up. You don't get it. He said, matter of fact, because of what you said, I will make a new proclamation of equality. Fourth point, there's a proclamation of equality. Why is this important?
Because David says everybody is going to be treated right. Those that stay with the stuff and those that go into battle, everybody gonna be treated right. Because we know what it's like to not be treated right. How dare we treat somebody else like a second-class citizen? Everybody equal in God. Come on, give God a praise. The doors of church open. Maybe there's one who will come. You decided this is the place you want for your church home. You want to be in this ministry. You want to be a part of this house. If you're online, please call or text me. Email us right now. We would love to have you a part of this fellowship. Now, you have to know something. I'm a straight shooter. I'm going to tell you the truth. Sometime you're not going to like that truth. But what you have to realize is, do you want to be lied to? Or do you want to know the truth? Because there are a lot of folks that will lie to you and will make you feel good and tell you what you want to hear. But then there are folk like me that'll give you the castor oil. I'll even put a little Coca-Cola soda with it. But either way, we getting you cleaned out. They'll get that on the way home. I love you all. I extend the invitation. With every head bowed and every eye closed. I need